Hey everybody, welcome back to the Candid Community Leadership Podcast. If this is your first time joining us, this is a podcast where we want to inspire you as a community leader, a business leader, an entrepreneur, or a leader wherever you might have influence. I'm your host, Brady Quinn, and today we are excited to bring you in to a live recording of our Startup Spotlight series. We are hosting it at Cowork 1107 on Free Coworking Friday. We hope you check out Cowork 1107 soon. Please see our Facebook page or our website, cowork1107.org, for more information. Startup Spotlight is one way that us here at Marion Economic Development support a new business and entrepreneur seeking to grow and scale in the Marion community and the ICR region. We're sharing their stories and providing this platform as a way to not only benefit the companies who join us, but those who may be listening today facing similar challenges as an entrepreneur themselves. So today we're actually very excited to welcome Leslie Vossenkemper of Scale Up Strategies. Thanks for coming today, Leslie. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
So Leslie is actually the first woman in the Cedar Rapids, Marion, and Iowa City area to earn the Certified Exit Planning Advisor, or the CEPA designation. An individual who earns the CEPA, credential assists business owners with the development of a strategy and plan for business succession. In a release from the Corridor Business Journal in early September, Leslie had the following to share. As the daughter and granddaughter of local entrepreneurs, I have a special place in my heart for business owners and want to help them proactively plan and successfully leave their legacy. Combining this specialized training with my experience leading high-growth businesses makes me uniquely equipped to educate others on the proven methodologies to enhance business value and bring a forward-thinking, holistic approach to succession planning. I'm grateful to be the expert to assist our local business owners in achieving their goals for their businesses and their lives. That's great, Leslie. Thanks again for being here today. I'm just going to poke on that being a daughter and granddaughter of local entrepreneurs. Maybe just expand on that for us for a little bit, and then we can kind of jump into more about yourself and your background before entrepreneurship.
Yeah, you bet. So my mom and dad own Ultralon. They started that in 1985 out of our home. We lived on a farm at that point in time. So literally heard my parents we knew we weren't supposed to answer the phone, right? It could be a customer calling.
Right.
And I remember my mom did all the office things, and my dad was out doing the production work, and he would come in at nighttime, and then he had his call aheads of which stops he was going to make the next day. So just listening, business happening in the house. And then my grandma started her own CPA firm in the 70s, and she sold that to McGladrey's in the early 90s.
Wow.
So I actually have my other grandma bought Bezdex after she retired from General Mills.
Okay.
The location there on Edgewood and Johnson Avenue. And then Florama went in across the street, and that didn't turn out as well for that one. But
right.
Yeah, the business is just...
No, that's
part of who we are.
Yeah, it's part of the blood, right? That's mm-hmm. I know that's it's a challenging life, but an exciting one, right? As far as those different things that you have to overcome and be able to embrace that, right? So let's kind of start more so taking a step back and looking at more of an introduction to yourself and kind of your background before entrepreneurship. The blood finally caught up to you, right? To kind of jump out on your own.
Sure. So lived in Cedar Rapids my whole life. I went to Jefferson, then to Kirkwood, then to Mount Mercy. And from a work standpoint, I started working at the grocery store called Randall Foods when I was in high school. Then I worked at Ultralon in the office with my mom for a couple years. And then I worked in the admissions offices, both at Kirkwood and Mount Mercy. And so I was actually road warrior out recruiting students for Mount Mercy when Ruffalo Cody tapped me on the shoulder. It was the HR director had reached out and said, hey, you know, we're looking at starting basically like a little startup within Ruffalo Cody to serve a new area of colleges. Because at that point, it was a fundraising company. They were doing fundraising for nonprofits. And so they wanted to leverage the capabilities that they had built for that to open up a new vertical of serving admissions offices and helping them with marketing campaigns. And so I joined Ruffalo Cody in 2002 as employee number 3 of what is now the Enrollment Management Division of Ruffalo Noel Levitz. And so we grew that from zero to $70 million, just that division. And my role in that was always number 2 of the division. So my title and scope of responsibility changed during, you know, as we grew. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 2008 when we received an investment. There was an appetite for acquisition, so we grew through acquisition as well. And my role in that was then post-transaction to go in and help the company grow or go integrate the people, process, and product of that newly acquired company. Went through that 4 different times, and when Ruffalo was sold in 2013, lots of different changes and shifts happened. But in 2016, I left and I took a COO position at a little company that's over in the Newbow area called Collective Data. And they were growing fast and needed some support with scaling effectively. Right. And so I was there for about 6 months only when ACT called and said, hey, we're looking for somebody, the role, the best way to describe it was like a GM role, it's a matrix style organization structure. But I was so excited to take that because it was the first time I got to lead strategy. I was always reporting to somebody else who had the final decision on strategy.
Right.
But at ACT, the claim, you know, what I needed to do there was grow and diversify a portfolio that was flat and actually declining in some segments. So it was a very different kind of situation than I had worked in before.
Right, right.
But I came in and put together that strategy and actually resulted in the largest acquisition ACT had ever made, about a $100 million deal. And so then I led the integration of that as well. So that's what I did before.
Okay. No, that's obviously, like you said, a lot of different experiences with different types of companies at different stages and understanding those different challenges. So as far as the lessons you learned, the experiences you've had throughout that, your career journey there, was there something specific then that inspired you to finally, you know, jump into this world of entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I think, I've always just had this itch, like really wanted to lead. I wasn't sure what. I remember I looked into franchises. It's like I've got this entrepreneurial family. I just didn't have an idea.
Right.
I didn't have a thing that I felt inspired to do. I would check out the startup community. I just couldn't figure it out. But in 2020, I was, you know, everybody was at home, right?
Yep.
All
yep.
on Zoom. And one of the national conferences that I attended every year had a virtual networking event. And I met a gentleman at this national conference, and he was telling me his story. And he's a very successful entrepreneur himself. And part of his story was, it stood out to me that I went out on my own. Like, he went out on his own. What is that? And so I asked him more about that.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I just, you know, I had done so many things in my career to that point. I just decided it would work out one way or the other. I just became self-employed and I found consulting gigs. I found different things and it really just led me to where I am. And I thought, that's fascinating. And so it kind of incubated on my brain for a couple months. And it was actually Thanksgiving of 2020 when I approached my husband and said, hey, what if, you know, I were to go out on my own?
Right.
And he's like, do it. Whatever you do, you'll be successful with. And then it was like, I don't know what I thought he was going to say, but I just, I didn't think that.
So, Connie, I wanted you to say no, okay?
And so, right. And that's what, you know, then I got busy. I found a mentor through SCORE. My grandma was a volunteer at SCORE, and so she connected me in and I got to work putting together a plan and doing business development. And that's when, once I landed a couple clients, I resigned my position in March of 21 and started Scaled Strategies.
Okay, wow. Now that happened fast, right? As far as kind of thinking Thanksgiving into that March timeframe. So as you were navigating those early days and challenges, you know, what, maybe walk us through, you know, as you continue to grow that client base and continue to try to just get that awareness out, right? I'm sure that's half the battle nowadays of anything, right, is with all the noise in the world. So how, I guess early on, as you started to grow that client base, how did you continue to grow your influence and grow that opportunity for yourself?
You bet. Well, it was Well, at that point in time, I focused on the education technology market. That's what I've been doing my whole career, was right. working in the education sector. And so I was doing networking and trying to think of who do I know who knows a lot more companies out there than I do.
Yep.
And so it's just kind of that power of networking, who knows who and who's willing to make an introduction to a business owner. But you know, one of the challenges I had was I didn't have a lot of time to tinker around from an income standpoint. I had just left an executive level income
right.
to do this. And so it was, I needed to get there quick.
Yep.
And, fractional work was one of the things that I did early on so that I could have that consistent income, something I could count on every month for months at a time.
Right.
And then from there, I had the ability for the rest of my time to be able to go find projects and more, traditional advising type work.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was, it was all about word of mouth. I didn't have a marketing budget.
Right, right,
so
right.
it was networking and then asking for referrals from those people yeah, that I worked with.
Kind of that bootstrapping, right, as far as
for
getting,
sure.
getting going on that. Mm-hmm. Maybe talk a little bit about, because that interests me when you said, you know, taking kind of one-off things. Is it taking off these little bites to show, hey, this is the value I can provide, and then being able yeah. to maybe get more opportunity further down? Is that kind of the thought or the strategy? Maybe this is me thinking out loud a little bit,
yeah.
but just kind of curious about that.
Well, the intent was, how do I take what I've learned and help smaller businesses grow and scale? And what I had going for me was I'd worked in two really well-known brands in
right.
the market. So I could say I was an executive at Ruffalo, I was an executive at ACT. And so just my background helped me get in the door and get a conversation.
Fair. Yep.
And
yep.
from there, I didn't really productize my service. So it was, I would ask questions of the owner, you mm-hmm. know, what are your goals? What are your challenges? What are you trying to get to? And then in each situation, I would come up with some specific custom way of which I could leverage my skills against helping them meet their goals. And
okay.
so every single client that I worked with that first year, I did something different. It was sometimes fractional, sometimes
right.
project, sometimes an interim type of a solution where they were working through an initiative and needed some help for a few months. So how can I find revenue was the
right.
goal.
Fair. Fair.
Mm-hmm.
So as you continue to navigate, through that, obviously wanting to get the consistent revenue, but then also, I'm assuming, wanting to try to at least create truly who is Leslie, what is Scale Up Strategies. So is there any significant challenges that you did face in kind of those early days of trying to get to that point, and anything specifically that helped overcome kind of those? I know you mentioned Score Mentor, and we've heard great things in this Eastern Iowa area about that mentorship program.
Mm-hmm.
I know post COVID there was a big let's get Score back up. So it's been fun to see them have influence now again. So maybe just talk more about that, challenges and
yeah.
overcoming that.
I think honestly the biggest challenge is very much personal. It was the income side and trying to decide, is this stable enough? And the decision point, again, every day, am I going to keep, am I committed to this, or should I just go back into a search for a full-time job? I was scared. I was really
yeah.
always nervous about where the next dollar was going to come from.
Fair.
And then also my husband had a cancer diagnosis during that time frame.
Oh,
and
wow.
so just trying to work through, all right, the worry just from a business standpoint, how much time it takes to think and do strategy and then the business development, but then also the worry about your person, right?
Of course.
And so it was a lot for a while, but
right.
it just persistence and the coaching and the confidence that I got from others, I kept going.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. No, that's great. I kudos to you for sticking to it, especially when personal things, that's always the time when sometimes
yeah.
it's hard to keep the train on the tracks, right?
Yes.
So as far as kind of that continued theme of these lessons learned, whether it be through your earlier career, through this, your entrepreneurial journey so far, I mean, has there been anything like a key lesson that you've either carried from your career into entrepreneurship, or something you've even learned since you've, you know, started the entrepreneurial journey that you know that you feel is has been most important, or something that influences you every day?
Well, I think that this is the story unfolded. It started with ed tech, and then there's these challenges and trying to navigate those challenges and figuring it out, but sticking with it. One of the things that happened that I had to overcome was I had one fractional contract. And what I mean is that's a part-time executive role. Okay. That's what I mean by that.
Yep.
And that company came into a budget issue. They missed their revenue numbers and they had to figure out where to slash costs. And so my contract was terminated.
Right.
And so for me, it was like, oh, shit. what am I going to do? And so I did a couple things. One is that I did not have interest in doing the fractional executive work anymore.
Right.
It was too much risk to have that much revenue riding on a decision like that.
Fair.
And so I wanted to diversify my client base. I wanted to do something a little bit different. And so that's where really I began to pivot into our community and say, okay, I've been doing ed tech for a while. There's things I can do there. I can keep doing things there, but I'm a little tired of working on Zoom all
yep.
the time.
Yep, fair.
And I'd like to see if I can figure out how to build a local clientele. And I'm just, until you start talking with people and getting a feel for it, you just don't really know how that journey might unfold. But I landed my first couple of local clients and loved it. It was so much fun actually to learn about different industries and different kinds of businesses. And then again, through networking, I connected with Brian Brown, who's with Iowa Business Advisors.
Okay.
And I was visiting with him about just this journey, catching up with him on the latest chapter since we hadn't seen each other in a couple years. And one of the clients I had been working with that spring was on a sell side M&A firm. And so I was telling him that I was enjoying kind of that reverse engineering of having always been a buyer within a company.
Right.
Thinking about another company looking for a buyer.
Right.
And so he said to me, have you ever considered becoming a CEPA? And what is that? And he told me, Certified Exit Planning Advisor. And I'm like, okay, exit planning, what are we talking about here is nothing to do with what I've just described.
Right, right, right.
And so he said, just check it out. He goes, with your background, I think it could be pretty compelling mm-hmm. work for you. And so I went home and I looked at this certification, and the whole thing sits on this methodology about building value. It's all
right.
about building value. And I'm
okay.
like, okay, well, here I am helping companies grow and scale. That's all about building value.
Right.
And so I signed up for that. It's kind of like a MBA style, short-term, kind of intense training.
Okay.
And I went through that and was a little reticent. I wasn't sure if I would like it or not. But coming through that, I was so excited that, one, it solved this product problem I was having, like gave a higher degree of purpose of why to work with me. I can help you build value in
right.
your business.
Yeah.
And I loved the learning that I got from it around the more holistic planning for an owner. And it resonated with me because I'm watching my parents and see my grandma,
yeah.
you know, all of this and thinking about some of the other business owners that I know that you need to have a plan. And yeah, business is personal. And so how to be able to help not only with the business, but help the owner beyond their business with their own personal planning and thought process. And so that's, I think, through the challenges I was having in the business, kept pushing me to keep networking, listening, learning, trying new things, and it's brought me to where I am today, and I feel like I found it.
Right.
I'm on it now.
Yeah. No, that's great. Finding that quote-unquote product, but then also, that personal entrepreneurial experience with your family, mm-hmm. and then kind of that connection to the local community. Was there like an aha moment then, as far as when you maybe realized or thought like this is what I want to be doing? Or I'm just
yeah.
curious as far as obviously CEPA and going through that training. I'm sure it was enlightening in what you're doing, but as far as making that local connection, because
yeah.
I know when we've talked previously, that's I think, been the when I feel like your eyes light up the most is talking about helping local businesses.
It is. It's so true. You can just imagine my husband on this journey with me. So we had pre-reading to do for this this course that I took.
Okay.
And as I was reading this book, I'm like, this is really cool. I like this stuff. And so, but I'm still not saying anything because I'm going to get through this class. Who knows? Will I even pass a test if I get, about all this. And so as I was halfway through the course that week, I was all I did for about 7 days. It was just this class, day, night, studying. And I said to my husband towards the end of it, I'm like, I think I want to do this. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I think I can help people.
Right.
I can really help people. I'm like, I keep thinking about my mom and dad. I keep thinking about, you know, the neighbors across the street and, mm-hmm. you know, friends and family that we have. And, you know, kept keeping Brian Brown in the loop and kind of being, he's been like a sounding board, right? Kind of bouncing what I'm learning. And
right.
he's like, yeah, we don't have anybody in the community who can do that kind of work.
Right.
And he just kept it reinforcing. There's nobody who's focused on this lane of helping companies understand and build value. And then understanding that whole comprehensive planning process. You've got attorneys, you've got CPAs, you've
right.
got, you know, estate planners, you've got tax advisors, you've got all these different roles, but there's no glue for a business owner in helping them glue together all of those professionals in a strategy process.
Right.
And so it was, I was talking with my mom and dad about it, and they became interested and intrigued. And but we were at the Lake of the Ozarks quite a bit this summer and was kind of just testing out some concepts with some different people.
Right.
And every time I started explaining it, people were curious. They wanted to learn more. And I'm like, I can help people. I just want to help people. And it's like this perfect blend of getting a chance to leverage the skills and experience I already have. So I'm not walking away from all that experience. That was important to me. I want to be able to leverage what I've learned through my work.
Of course, yeah.
I want to be able to help people. And here in our community, you know, look, the business that I worked at isn't really even here anymore. So
yeah.
I would sure love to see that our local community business owners understand their options, and if they want to see, you know, those jobs stay here, they want to see those businesses remain, that they have an opportunity and somebody to work with who can help make that happen and understand their options. So
no, that's great. And I know that's kind of our, at least when Medco and you and we got all engaged around that rallying cry, I guess mm-hmm. we'll call it, because I know we understand how important that is, especially in our community of Marion. It's been fun for us to get to know you and kind of your goals and see how we can continue to help make those introductions. One thing that you do keep mentioning is, and I'm going to call it what it is, I think like a mentor or even then a support system. Obviously, you've been mm-hmm. talking about your husband and is it Brent? Am I remembering the name correctly?
Jeff is my husband.
No, you're the other mentor. Sorry.
Is it? John Brockhart.
John Brockhart.
My score
okay.
mentor. Mm-hmm.
So how, as far as that playing a crucial role in just entrepreneurship in general, maybe talk about it personally to you, but as for other aspiring entrepreneurs and kind of how important you feel that is for anyone looking to, you know, jump out into this world of entrepreneurship.
Right. Entrepreneurship is lonely. I mean, you've got yourself to think through
yep.
whatever challenge or idea, and it's a pretty normal thing. I mean, the thought process and the challenges. So having a mentor or a coach or somebody who can be just your go-to, it allows you to feel like you can have the messy. They see the messy. Like, I haven't got this all figured out, but this
right.
is what I'm trying to figure out. And they can kind of help start pulling threads out and bringing next steps and where to focus, or you don't need to be worrying about that right now.
Right.
And I think also just make you feel normal. Like, this is all part of the process and you're doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives you that confidence that, okay, I'm not missing anything. I'm doing the best that I can. But that mentor or coach, you know, I definitely, sometimes it's hard. I'm one of those personalities that always wants to try to figure it out on my own. It's hard to ask for help.
Yep.
And so it was really a valuable thing for me to have somebody that's their whole role. It's just to help me and I can call on them, and they just loved it. I mean, John loved it when I called him.
Right.
How can I help? How can I help? What can I do? And yes, so it was really pretty important. I'm still working with him.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. I like how you worded that, kind of see the messy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people don't want to open that that bedroom closet Mm-mm. door, right?
And yeah, right. It's true.
To see.
Yeah, you want to make it look like you've got it all figured
right.
out, but you sure don't.
So, I mean, I feel like that's great advice mm-hmm. as far as finding that mentor and making sure you have someone to be able to, you know, be open and honest about those things. Is there anything else as far as you've gone through this journey, you know, started to grow this business in the community? So what do you feel has been most important for you to that you'd want to pass on to someone looking to do starting a business in a community and helping out those local business owners, or just in general
yeah.
getting more more in tune, I guess, with the entrepreneurial side of thing locally here?
Yeah, I think networking is king. You have to network. You have to get out there.
Right.
And I think also, be willing to be a connector.
Mm-hmm.
I think being a connector feeds being connected.
Yeah, oh, that's fair.
You do good to others, they will do good to you. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving my house in the morning, and most of the time I'm gone all day because I've got meetings, I'm trying to network, I'm attending different events, and it's on my agenda every week that I'm meeting with people that I haven't met before.
Right.
And so it's just part of my calendar. And I think that's a really important, you know, piece of learning I did, you know, really too late. I remember when I was leaving Ruffalo, I didn't really have much networking. I knew my colleagues, I knew my
right.
clients, and maybe a couple, you know, people out there from some board work I had done. But it was scary when it's like, never again. There's no reason to wait on networking. So
right, fair.
Whether you plan to be an entrepreneur or not, that's kind of advice for anybody, I think.
No, I couldn't agree more with that. I think especially, you know, being around people is what we're here for, right? And I think a lot of us have realized that and appreciate those opportunities now more than ever. So we've talked about a lot of different things mm-hmm. as far as, you know, whether it be working with a mentor, obviously, this networking, you know, trying to grow the business, working with clients, your personal life, right? So
right.
as far as like balancing all these demands, what and community involvement, right? All these different things, like how do you do it, right? Like how are you able to, you know, be everything at once or balance that demands and honestly, you know, do the self-care too, right? Because I think
yeah.
we understand that that's just as important as taking care of everything else in your life too. At the end of the day, you got to take care of numero uno, as I
yeah,
tell my wife, right?
Right?
So just, you know, curious how kind of your advice or how you've kind of evolved over time here too to make sure you're, mm-hmm. you know, filling your own cup or filling other cups that you need to, right?
Yep. So balance is a hard thing, but I just really lean hard on scheduling and planning ahead. And I've also gotten pretty good at saying no when I can't, you can't be all things to all people all the time.
Yep.
And I think also it's managing expectations. So, you know, you can only do so much, and it'll be like, you know, I've got a prospect that would like a contract. I'm like, I'll get it to you by Friday. I promise. It'll be
right.
there on Friday, but I just am looking at my calendar. So there's no way I can add one more thing into the next couple of days. You just manage expectations. You know, somebody's like, hey, you guys want to go out Friday night? I'm like, you know what? We need a night out. We're just going to say no. We're going to
yeah.
stay home. We're going to do takeout and hang out. But with the kids, I think especially, because I know there's so many parents, young parents out there.
Right.
I always left the office at 5. I had to go be mom, right? And 8:30 at night, maybe there was stuff I still needed to get done. I would crack open my laptop and get it done. But I held boundaries, you know.
Yeah.
Boundaries are important.
Yeah.
And being able to say no and manage expectations, I think, is the best advice I can offer.
No, I think that goes, I think people need to hear that more often than not, right? I know, I think, mm-hmm. what is it? Say no to good so you can say yes to great type of thought process. But then also that the managing expectations, you know, the worst thing you can do to yourself and your client is, you know, under or over promising and under delivering, right?
Right.
Then you start getting that reputation and Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. So maybe looking at, as we look the next 5-10 years, you know, scale up strategies, what do you envision scale up strategies mean, and then kind of your local effect and impact on the community?
Sure. Yeah, it's exciting. I think about this a lot.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Here we go.
It's like I see
day
that right now, and so how do I get there?
Yep.
So the Exit Planning Institute is the group that actually teaches the SEPAs, right? Like they're the organization. And they have some research studies that they do around business owner readiness. And it's the survey that they do. They just did another national survey last month. But they've also will do it in regional areas. I just sat in on the most recent Minneapolis owner readiness survey. And so they have this before and after because they'd done the same survey 7 or 8 years ago, and then they just conducted it again this winter. And so the percentage of owners that had done some amount of planning has changed by 78% because they've got a community of people there who are working on educating owners.
Wow.
So although I don't have a benchmark of, you know, what is our owner readiness today?
Right.
What will it be? I'm going to try to figure out how we get that benchmark. But I think just being able to significantly shift through providing education opportunities around owners taking action, it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be plenty left to do. But I think that 5 years from now, there's a lot more knowledge in the business owners that we have here in our community. Mm-hmm. And by virtue of creating that information and space and just even knowing where to get information, that it will create action. And with better plans means we'll have better outcomes.
Right.
And, you know, beyond that, I want to build relationships. I want to know as many business owners as I can, because part of my vision is, you know, being able to think about that connector role.
Right.
Sure, I can connect people to, you know, attorneys and CPAs and commercial bankers. I can help be a connector to whatever their needs are as it's relating to, you know, to building value in their business and succession planning. But the other piece is, how can I help businesses connect to each other? So if it's like, I know Charlie over here is working on X, and now, you know, Linda over here is working on Y, those two need to talk, you know, and even being able to identify where there's opportunities for somebody who needs a succession plan, and knowing who else in the community maybe would be a good match for that. And so just the more I can get to know our owners, where their needs are, I think it's going to result in even different kinds of outcomes.
For sure. For sure. And I know, you know, a lot of the work that we do at Medco is, you know, trying to understand that, you know, who does have a succession plan. And that's, you know, part of the reason why we continue to try to look for new resources and make new introductions. And I know that's obviously why we're sitting here today with you. And that's what we're excited about here at Medco is to start making those introductions and help you be a connector that we try to be as well. But, you know, we also know that the less time people have nowadays, it's a battle, right? To be able to get in there and fighting through the noise of the world and that bringing that awareness. So I hope that this today is going to bring some awareness to some folks. And I think we're excited about that too, for sure.
It is. It's like, I think just to add on to that, it's business owners are busy. They're running their business. They've got their work-life balance to the nines, right?
Yep.
So much going on. But when and how often are they getting a chance to step back and work on their business?
Right.
And I want to be able to be helpful in that regard.
Yeah, the whole they're so busy working in the business instead of on it lately. I know that's a lot of the conversations or the way we talk about that, right? So being able to help them step back and look at that bigger picture. Because let's be honest, a lot of our local business owners aren't getting any younger, right? So
we
got to start putting steps in and maybe talk about that a little bit as far as, because I don't know how much we've gotten into actually this more specifics of the work that you, when you get in and meet with these clients. I mean, is there a process you go through to like you mentioned, this owner readiness and then kind of figuring out where they're at? And then is there, okay, we got to take care of, you know, X, Y, and Z first, and, you know, understanding what they want from their business and starting to put things into place now, because we all know things don't happen overnight, right? So Maybe just walk us through kind of like a typical, engagement with a client, and then kind of how what that leads to. I know every client or every person's different, mm-hmm. but maybe just more of that summarized view of kind of the way you get in there and get your hands dirty, right?
Yeah, so. You bet. So it's a listen first approach where you've got to get to know the owner. What are their goals? Just the story.
Yep.
Where did you start business and where is it now and where do you see it going?
Yeah.
Right? Like what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And then it's two parts. It's the personal planning and the business planning side of it. And so there's some pretty simple assessment processes to go through. But from a business standpoint, I will go deep in trying to get a look at, okay, really want to understand not only just the financial aspect of your business and what the trends have been and where it's forecasted to go,
right.
but also getting a look at some of that intangible stuff that really is important at the point of transition or the value drivers of a business. So kind of think about if you were to go in and let's say you're trying to buy a house, somebody goes as an inspection, and now as a buyer, they're going to discount on this because the roof is old or, you know,
right.
something's broken or whatever. I want owners to understand how a third party would look at their business. And once they understand those concepts, it rewires their thinking around, this is an asset in my portfolio,
right?
How do I build an asset versus thinking about just building an income?
You
can do both, but it creates a higher degree of strategy in their thinking and planning. So to get to your question about engagement, go through, do an estimate of value so mm-hmm. they get an idea of what is my business worth today and how can I improve it
mm-hmm.
and what's the potential. And that's not, of course, you can grow, you can improve profit, that'll definitely improve value. But what are the other things within the business that you might not even be aware of that might be making your business unsaleable at all
right.
at some point?
Fair.
And so then the other side of the personal assessment piece is just that. It kind of, if there's a questionnaire you go through, and their questions on that, it's going through it with owners like, I've never thought about that before. Yep, I should probably take care of that. Like those types of things. And that converts into kind of a master plan concept where I can work with a business beyond that process and helping them build value. But on the personal planning side, this is where I'm the connector and say,
right.
you know what, if you don't understand what retirement might look like for mm-hmm. you, let me introduce you to three wealth advisors that I know are just top-notch humans and will take care of you. And
right.
you pick which one. You know what? Going through this process, I can see you could use a little upgrade in your bookkeeping practices.
Right.
Let me connect you to some really great people who can help you with that. And so kind of being able to help them work through a planning process so that they get to the point that their business is ready, they're ready. So whether it's a health issue or that one day they just decide, you know what, I'm done. Or grandbaby comes along and just values shift and they want to do something different, that they're ready. They're in a ready position versus in a pretty tough spot not knowing what to do next.
So when that ready position kind of got me thinking, I'm assuming that looks different for everyone based on what they feel is mm-hmm. but is there like a common, you know, when you've got these things in order, that's mm-hmm. that's where you feel that gets these individuals or business owners into a ready position?
I think that a lot of times business owners, I mean, think about, you know, working in the corporate world, you've got a 401k person, you've
yep.
got a benefits person, they're helping you plan for retirement.
Right.
There's nobody who's really focused on the needs of business owners, and a lot of business owners don't have a 401k. They've got different kinds of savings vehicles, maybe CDs, you know, there's
right.
any number of ways that they're managing their savings and investment.
Right.
But what do they need in order to retire, and how does their business fit into that? Is a question that we can help answer. So it's a planning process. So if you think about the net worth of a business owner,
mm-hmm.
some big percentage of that is their company.
Right.
But whether or not that is an asset that they can liquidate is another question. Or do they need to, right? Do they have
Fair.
Enough savings in other ways? But understanding, okay, what financially do I need in order to achieve my goals for retirement, and how or not does my business fit into that? Getting the answer to that question informs the plan.
Right.
And so if it is important that you be able to sell that business in order to retire, or you want to be able to transition it, then it becomes the how. Well, there's a lot of different ways to do that. You can move to ESOP. You could have an internal transition. You could go third party. There's several different kinds of third party approaches.
Right.
And so it's first the what's the financial piece of the picture, and then being able to dig into the how. How do we get there?
Okay. No, that's great. I just love the listening aspect, right? It's mm-hmm. like, you know, that's what people want nowadays, right? It's to be listened to, and then let's solve this together, right? That collaborative
yeah.
approach, and
of
then
course.
Understanding where you fit in well, but then that, again, back to the connector, right? Understanding, well, personally, I know you need an introduction to so-and-so because of this, right? I just think that's great as far as understanding where you fit in, and then also understanding where you need to make that handoff, right? Because at the end of the day, it's all about making sure your customer, client, business owner is taken care of. And my, you know, making those local introductions too, I think is important
yeah.
to you too. So, no, I love that. So as, you know, as we want to, as we listen and hear the things and we're like, oh, Leslie, I know the perfect person to introduce you to. What is the best way for, you know, the listeners or others to, make that introduction, connect with you, learn more, you know, kind of whatever that looks like going forward, just to make sure that, you know, we're being a connector for you, right? Maybe just provide some thoughts around that for us.
Yeah, any way possible. I'm happy. I have a website. It's scale-upstrategies.com. Scale Up Strategies, the name of my business.
Yep.
I'm on LinkedIn, Leslie Vossenkemper, and I'm in the directory. I'm in the Medco directory. I'm in
there
the Economic Alliance directory. You
yep.
can find me that way. And actually, I am hosting, if it's a business owner who's looking to learn,
yeah.
I am hosting a couple of free educational events in December. One on the 11th down at the public library, and the one here
yes.
on the 13th. And so great opportunities for business owners to come and learn something.
For sure. Oh, definitely look out for that in our communications here from Medco. We're excited to host that with Leslie and continue to share the education and awareness of scale-up strategies and succession planning, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's the goal of, I know what you're continuing to try to do. About audience-wise, looking out here to the folks we have in the room today, I mean, any questions, thoughts, comments from the crew here, just so I don't ignore you guys the whole time, right?
Can you tell us, Leslie, a little bit more about the event you're hosting here on the 13th
yeah.
here at the Medco office?
You bet. So I'm putting together an interactive agenda for it so that everybody leaves with something, and I'm working on figuring that out, if it's going to be kind of like a lighter weight assessment process or some, so I'm working on the what, but I want it to be interactive so that round table is what I've described it as. So business owners are getting a chance to meet each other, think through, talk through some of these topics, and hopefully get a sense of that peer community through the process too. But open their eyes to the breadth of the process and some of the key pieces that they can be working on or consider working on in the future. Yes.
I'm just curious, your brother is now running Ultralon?
Yes, that's right.
Did you ever work there, or have you ever considered, since it's a family business, or is that something you like never?
It's a great question. My brother is the general manager, and I did work in the business. When I was a senior in high school and a freshman in college, I was doing accounts payable, accounts receivable, working with mom, helping answer the phones. And when I got the job offer to work in the admissions office, I was really excited because I could just see that career path being of higher degree of interest for me. And mom was really supportive. And so since that time, I've never really, and it's well managed. My brother's got it under control, and mom and dad are now semi-retired. You know, they get involved when or if they need to, but it's not really something. And I'm, you know, encouraging my mom and dad to, like, you know, let's make a plan of how that full transition could take place. But that's like complicated.
I know someone who can help you, Mom.
There's another sister. Yeah. You know, I have a sister, too, and she's out in California. And so I think they're like, okay, we've got three kids. But family business transitions are complicated, I think, for parents to think through what's fair, what's equal. Those are two different things, you know. But that's part of, you know, the coaching and helping people think through and navigate those kinds of questions. But yeah, my family too.
Yeah, to have that personal experience, so I think adds, you know, adds to your ability, right, to connect with your clients. I'm sure. So I think that's to me adds to the legitimacy of what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, you know, as we're wrapping up here, maybe is there a last like message for aspiring entrepreneurs, or maybe a reflection of kind of your journey and kind of where you are and where you're going?
That's a great question. You know, I think entrepreneurship sounds kind of glamorous or something. It's not. It's hard.
Yep.
It's really hard, and it's emotional and lonely. So there's a lot of things about entrepreneurship that can be much harder than I think meets the eye if you've not done it yourself. But the reward side of it, of figuring it out, and I mean, you've heard, like, I've had kind of this windy story to get me to where I am. But I'm on it. I'm excited, and it's so energizing to feel like you're empowered to the degree. It's also, you're accountable to yourself. And so it's great. I think this is the right path for me, and I encourage others on it, but don't want them to be misunderstanding how much work it is.
Of course, of course. No, I think I speak for everyone in this room when we can feel the energy, and when we've interacted previously, I think we're excited about what you're doing and what you're trying to do. And we really appreciate your time today to share the journey with us. You know, your story is inspiring. We hope it does encourage others in the community to pursue their entrepreneurial dreams, or at least, you know, reach out to Leslie, reach out to us. We'd always love to be that connector for you. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this episode of the Candid Leadership Podcast. We will see you next time. Take care and go Hawks.